107.
Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation related. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com, and today we're going to be talking about getting started testing using Rest Assured with the man who created it, Johan Hallaby. But first, let's hear it for our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs. Today's episode is sponsored by Sauce Labs. Sauce Labs makes test automation awesome. Sauce's cloud-based Selenium Grid helps developers test web and mobile apps across more than 400 browser and OS platforms. Sauce also supports Appium and popular JavaScript unit testing frameworks and integrates with all the top programming languages, test frameworks, and CI systems. With built-in video recording, debugging tools, and secure tunneling for firewall testing, Sauce helps you ship better software faster. Sign up at saucelabs.com with promo code TESTTALKS14 and get 20 hours of automated testing for free. So for the past few years, I've been trying to promote the idea that not every automation test should be a UI test. And actually, we should be focusing more on the types of tests that could be performed below the UI layer, like API testing. With the rise of the Internet of Things, this type of headless testing is only going to be more and more popular. One of the tools I use all the time for REST-based API testing is Rest Assured. There's only one thing I knew about Sweden before I learned about Johan Hallaby and Rest Assured, and that was Sweden is where one of my favorite guitar players of all time was born, Yngwie Malmsteen. Now there are two things I know, and I think they're both equally as awesome. So get ready for some REST testing shredding as we talk with the creator of the open source library Rest Assured. So check it out. Hey Johan, welcome to Test Talks.
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
Cool. So before we get started, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So, my name is Johan Hallaby, and I'm a Swedish developer and architect. And yeah, I suppose I'm on this podcast since I'm interested in test automation, and I've also founded a couple of open source projects on the Java platform. Yeah, I've been doing programming for pretty much as long as I can remember, actually. I grew up with a Commodore C64, and I remember that I didn't understand what was in the manual, but I remember that, you know, in the end of the manual, they had like this strange-looking kind of text that I typed into the console, and yeah, I remember that I created some synthesizer, and you press the keys on the keyboard to make some sounds. So that was really, really awesome, and I think that's what's got me interested in programming. Yeah, I suppose later on I studied computer science at the university, and afterwards I joined a Swedish consultant company called J-Way. I've been working there ever since. Yeah, I'm mainly interested in programming, and yeah, I'm a bit of fan of distributed systems, and I like pretty large cloud-based systems that can handle a lot of concurrent requests. And then of course I'm also interested in testing, and I've founded three different open source testing libraries on the JVM. The most famous one is probably PowerMock, which allows you to mock things not normally possible on the JVM. Yeah, my second framework is Autility, that can be used to test asynchronous systems. And my latest one is Rest Assured, that I suppose we'll be talking a little bit about today.
Awesome, sounds great. Yeah, I definitely I love your open source tools, and the one my team has been using a lot of is Rest Assured. So at a high level, could you just tell us what Rest Assured is?
Rest Assured is a fluent Java library that you can use to test REST or HTTP-based services. It's designed with testing in mind, and it has this BDD-like specification syntax. I've tried to make it scalable, I suppose, in the sense that it should be very easy to use and get started with, but it should also... You should be able to handle more complex scenarios. So, for example, you should be able to configure some nitty-gritty details if you really need to, like connection pooling and HTTP client configuration and encoding and SSL configuration and all that kind of things. But first and foremost, it should be as easy as possible to use, but it should scale with your needs as well. It's a Java framework, but it's implemented in both Java and Groovy, actually. Just to make it clear, you don't need to configure Groovy or anything like that in any way. So if you're used to Groovy, and if you're using Maven at least, then you have to like configure Groovy compilers and all that kind of things, but that is not required if you use Rest Assured, since it's all interfaces that you, a tester or developer, interacts with are plain Java interfaces. So you don't need to know that it's Groovy under the hood. So it's just a standard dependency that you depend on, just like any other library that you use.
Awesome. Yeah, like you said, it's really easy to use. It's just a Maven dependency. And what I really love is the syntax. Like, to go into that a little bit more, my team is doing behavior-driven development with UI testing. So we also needed a solution for our REST test. And so when I found Rest Assured, I was like, this is awesome, because even the syntax is simple. It's just given, when, then, and it's very simple to do a get and a post. So why did you create Rest Assured? Were you doing a lot of testing with REST and you found other tools weren't meeting your needs?
Yeah, pretty much. I was involved in a customer's project, and I was writing my first real REST service. And of course, I wanted to test it, since I'm interested in testing. We were actually using a bit of Groovy in that project, so I figured that I should use Groovy to test my REST service. Well, for that reason, I picked a Groovy library called HTTP Builder. But I struggled a little bit when using it, mainly because the sources and Java docs were not pushed to Maven Central back then. So I constantly had to use Google and go to their website and, you know, look for documentation on how to use it. Also, back then I was using Eclipse, and the Groovy support wasn't very good back then. That actually made me switch to IntelliJ, because it had much better Groovy support. I don't know about today, but back then that was definitely the case. Yeah, I found myself struggling a little bit. I had a pretty hard time finding the names of the properties that, you know, I should use with HTTP Builder when you created a request and so on. I still found that, you know, Groovy and HTTP Builder was great, because when I wanted to validate the response that I got back from the server, I found Groovy was really, really easy to use, because you use like an expression language called GPath that is integrated with Groovy, that allows you to really easily look into nested structures and extract values from them and assert that the expected results validates to your specification. And Groovy was awesome for that. But I just found that it was, a bit hard to use HTTP Builder. And I figured that, my main language is Java. So I figured that, maybe I can, mix this staticness of Java, if you like. Because both Eclipse and IntelliJ and other IDEs have excellent support for Java, so I can use my code completion. But I wanted to, mix in this dynamicity of Groovy when it comes to parsing JSON and XML payloads into a new library. And yeah, that's what's pretty much how Rest Assured was born. I also, a little bit with all the frameworks, at least back then, I thought that it was a little bit too hard to just make a request. Why should it require, I don't know, two lines of code? I mean, you should just be able to do this with one line of code, and just make it a little bit easier than what I could find back then, at least.
Awesome. And I definitely agree. For example, in my team, before we found Rest Assured, we have an offshore team that was writing blocks of code to interact with the REST service. And I said, hey, just try this other library called Rest Assured. And so we went from, 20 lines of code to one line of code. I mean, it's elegant, I think. If you were to look at it, it's nice and clean. It's a great syntax. So I think that makes a big difference.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I have, in the beginning, the syntax looked a little bit different, actually, because it didn't have this given when then. I suppose that did confuse people. And I think that the mentality that I had at first was that maybe I got that a little bit from the mocking world in some sense, because I thought about you create a request specification, and then you create a response specification, and then you execute these two specifications, and after the request to the server has actually been made, the response specification was or should be fulfilled. But the way that you created a response specification was actually before you made a request. So that was a little bit confusing, I think. So in Rest Assured 2.0, de facto syntax is the, given when then syntax that I think is more familiar to people.
Awesome. Yeah, I started a blog post. My first blog post, I was using the older syntax. And you actually commented on it and reminded me that there was newer syntax. And
yeah.
the newer syntax is much better. So why BDD? Were you inspired by BDD, or were you just trying to make your tool in line with what other teams have been doing with development?
Yeah, no, I think both. I think it's, I don't know if I've been exposed to many of these BDD frameworks before or libraries. So I think it's easier to get into a library that that uses, you know, this BDD syntax than something else. At least it should be easier than what I had before. Because I know that people were trying to integrate Rest Assured with other, you know, BDD libraries as well, Cucumber, for example, and they struggled a little bit because there was this mismatch between the more BDD kind of API and the old Rest Assured API. And also, when I was talking about Rest Assured at conferences before, people usually came up in the end of the presentation and asked me, why did you have this like kind of strange syntax? Why not just go with given when then that we are used to? So yeah, I think that for most people, they're more familiar with BDD, and yeah, me as well. I suppose it was just, I should probably have gone with BDD or the given when then kind of syntax earlier.
Yep.
That's a mistake, I think.
But it's there now, and I think it's awesome, and it's easy to pick up, so you made up for it. What does someone need to know before using Rest Assured? How much HTTP knowledge should they have?
That's a good question. I think that, in a sense, yeah, it's always good to have some HTTP knowledge, of course, but I think that the API is built in such a way, I hope, that, I mean, you can learn a bit of HTTP along the way. And since it's Java and you can code complete everything, I think that at least the structure of things that you can do, yeah, you can get help from the API when you create your request, and also what things you can validate and so on. Of course, it's better if you know HTTP, but I think the Rest Assured API can help you along that way as well.
Do you know why are more developers moving towards JSON rather than XML?
I just think, JSON is, it's more compact than XML. I believe it's also more readable. I would say, simpler than XML as well, because XML have some more advanced, not so advanced, but, they have some, XML is more advanced than JSON. XML contains attributes, for example, that JSON doesn't have. And XML doesn't have, implicit types. So with JSON, you know that an attribute is a number, for example, or an attribute is a string. We don't know that in XML unless we have a schema or DTD. You may not think about this, too often, but if you're parsing an XML document, you need to take that into account. So, for example, you as a human, you can see that an XML node is 1234. You know that this is an integer, but when you design like a parser to actually extract the value, you don't know that this is an integer. So you have to take that into account. And also a problem with XML, I think that it's kind of related to types as well. But you don't know if you have an XML document like where the root element is called car, and then you have some records for this car, for example, how fast this was. Or the fastest car this year or whatever. So if you have a car and you only have one element in this document, you don't know if this is a list. I mean, is this a list of cars, or is it, a car only? Like, can it be a list or can it not be a list? You don't know that with XML if you don't have a schema or DTD. But we know that with JSON.
You have some really good presentations online and some videos. So I'm going to have those in the show notes. So if someone's not following along, once they view those videos, they should be able to see the example, one of the examples that you just gave. So Rest Assured handles both XML and JSON.
Yeah, it handles XML and JSON and also HTML, actually. There's an HTML parser as well built in. And one of the cool things with Rest Assured, I think, is that since it uses GPath and Groovy under the covers, and Groovy has great support for parsing these kind of documents. I mean, Rest Assured just uses Groovy under the hood to make the really the hard stuff. But what's cool with Groovy is that you can use virtually the same kind of syntax when you parse JSON or XML or HTML. It doesn't really matter. Of course, there are some variations since XML and HTML is a little bit more complex than JSON. But if you have simple documents that you want to parse, then you can essentially use the same syntax. And I think that's quite powerful as well.
Well, that's cool, because I've been using something called JSOUP to parse HTML. I never even thought about just using Rest Assured to do that. So you could do something similar. You can parse HTML and get at the elements that you're interested in and print them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Besides that, are there any other functionality within Rest Assured you think most people aren't aware of?
Yeah, maybe, because I did a very big refactoring. I think it was like a year and a half ago or something. But actually, this Rest Assured is made up of different, I think it's three different sub-products, actually. It's Rest Assured Core, and then it's something called JSON Path and XML Path. So Rest Assured depends on JSON Path and XML Path, but yeah, they're both separate products. So you can use XML Path, for example, as standalone without depending on Rest Assured. So if you have XML that you want to parse and you like this GPath syntax, you can just depend on the XML Path project instead of depending on Rest Assured. So I think that is quite nice. And not everyone knows this, I suppose.
Cool. So you said Rest Assured 2.0. Are you working on Rest Assured 3.0? Or is there anything new that you'd like to add to it?
Yeah, I am actually. I have a lot of ideas, so I don't know what exactly will be included in 3.0. But of course, I mean, HTTP 2.0, I think it's out more or less. So I will definitely need to look into that to see if I can be compatible with HTTP 2.0. And one of the things that I really want to do with Rest Assured is to extract a more lightweight core and remove the dependency to Hamcrest internally, and potentially even remove the dependency to Groovy, so that Rest Assured itself is really lightweight and you can use it in production as well. Because I know that people are actually using Rest Assured in production. I've done it as well on occasion, but I really want to make the dependency a bit more lightweight, because now it has a lot of dependencies. And while doing that, I also want to maybe remove the compile time dependencies that I have to the subproducts of JSON path and XML path, so that you can provide your own path languages if you like. So for example, there's a colleague of mine at JOA that have written another JSON path project that follows more the there is kind of this de facto standard for parsing JSON. I want to hook that into Rest Assured as well. There's a lot of stuff that will happen in the future as well, hopefully.
So thinking about validation, you just mentioned Hamcrest. I just wanted everyone to know that most of the people that listen to this podcast, I would think, are testers, so they're familiar with Selenium and Hamcrest. So it's the same types of validations that they might be familiar with that they can also do in Rest Assured.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And what you also can do, there is also a subproduct of Rest Assured that is pretty interesting, I think, that allows you to very easily validate your JSON document that you get back from the server to JSON schema. And I think this is quite powerful as well, because you can test, like, it all depends on the problem, what kind of domain you're in, but maybe sometimes it's enough to just test that the structure of the JSON document that you get back from the server is what you expect. And perhaps you test the logic or behavior of the service. Maybe you test that in another layer of your system. Maybe you don't test that at the REST API layer, but maybe, a bit lower down the stack, perhaps.
Awesome. That's a good point. I know one of the teams I was working with created their own code to test some schema, and they probably could have used Rest Assured to probably make it a lot better, because it's ugly what they created. So,
yeah, that's actually its own product as well. So you can actually use that independently of Rest Assured. It's just some custom Hamcrest matchers that I made. So if you're using Hamcrest, or if you're used to Hamcrest and you want to make or do JSON schema validation, you can just depend on that project without depending on Rest Assured as well.
Very cool. So in your experience, is there one thing you see over and over again that most people testing APIs or REST services are doing wrong?
That's a really good question. It all depends. It's not black and white. I think that it could be wrong. If you have a complex domain, then I think it could be wrong to test your domain logic from the REST API. Because you may need to have your tests run quicker, for example, or maybe it just gets more complicated if you test it using the API layer. So then maybe you should have a, you know, just unit test that behavior as well. But if you're in a large system, or if you're developing microservices, or maybe the subsystem that you're working with right now is not your core domain. It's just, yeah, it contains some logic, but it's not too advanced. And yeah, I would have tested that with Rest Assured. So it depends. And also, I think that you should make use of JSON schema. I think that's a good way actually to test the structure of the document. So instead of extracting values and comparing attribute here is equal to this value, that is important in some cases, but maybe that's has to do with business logic, and you should perhaps have tested that elsewhere. So then if you have these scenarios, then I think you can quite easily test too much with Rest Assured. You can end up with a test suite that takes forever to run. So that could be a problem.
You also mentioned you're very active. I don't know how you get all this done. You also created some other open source tools like PowerMock. What's PowerMock?
Yeah, PowerMock is this Java library as well that allows you to mock things that are usually not mockable with other frameworks. I mean, today there are other frameworks that that can do it as well. But back when I started, I think it was 2007 or something like that, I was not aware of any other library that could do this. And it's essentially, I was in a product, and they were doing a lot of testing, and I attended conferences, and I always heard is that you shouldn't use static methods in Java. You shouldn't use them because they're not possible to test. And I started thinking about this. Why is it that you cannot test these methods? And then I started to dig around a little bit, and I got interested in how mock frameworks actually worked under the hood. And I came to the conclusion that it wasn't that, you can mock them, but you have to do some kind of tricks with, you have to change the bytecode when the application is running. So the mock frameworks back then in Java didn't do that. They used another inheritance model and created some proxy objects. So, but if you use another approach, then you could mock static methods. So. Yeah, that's when PowerMock was born, actually, because we made it so that it could mock static methods, and then new instance calls and fields and virtually everything is mockable or stubbable with PowerMock. So I think it has contributed in the sense that I'm not aware that anyone in a conference right now would say that. At least, in a Java conference, we'd say that static methods are not, or you shouldn't use static methods because they're not possible to test. I mean, that was just technical limitations of the libraries at the time. But when you use these frameworks like PowerMock and so, it's like you have to be careful because, I mean, they are messing with the bytecode and they are a bit slower, and PowerMock is using class loaders or Java agents. So, yeah, it's more error prone, and things can go wrong. So, I think that if you can solve your problem, which you usually can, by using other mock frameworks, you should probably consider them before using PowerMock, I think.
I think you bring up a good point. I think sometimes developers may start doing some sort of unit testing, but they might do too much of it, and then they say, oh, it's not maintainable. So then they stop doing it completely. So it almost sounds like you need to find good compromise between how much unit testing you're doing compared to what you don't.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And especially with these powerful tools, you should be extra careful with those, actually, because it's so easy to couple yourself to a certain implementation details. You should try to test behavior, I think, and you should be able to refactor the code as much as possible without breaking your tests. And with PowerMock, if you're not an expert or if you don't know what you're doing, it's really, really easy to get into a mess. So you should be careful.
I also found that sometimes it's hard for me to find developers that actually do any sort of testing. So how did you get into testing?
I suppose I was pretty lucky. I mean, the first assignment that I got into when I joined Yayway, there was a great team of developers, and they were really into testing, all of them. So I just got got schooled at testing, and I found that it was, just became natural for me to test, and it still is. I mean, I don't write, it doesn't feel right if I don't have a test when I write production code. It just feels wrong. I want to validate what I've written, for both for myself and also for other people, so they can come in and refactor the code with confidence. It has saved us me and my team. This has saved us so many times. So I think it's really important, and I think it's fun as well. So
cool. Yeah, I agree. I love testing. Now, what is JWay? Is it a consultancy service? What do you guys focus on or specialize in?
Yeah, exactly. We are a consultant company from Sweden. So we're specializing in, there are different teams at JWay. So we have different areas of focus. Yeah, I'm mainly interested in Java and big cloud-based systems. But other ones are, you know, perhaps interested in Android or .NET applications and stuff like that. So different kinds of products, definitely. But there are a lot of good developers working at JWay, I think. And you get a lot of kickback from working with great people. And it's really great fun, and you get good inspiration. And also, I'm doing most of the work on these open source projects on my spare time, but JWay also sponsors them. I mean, I get, time to do stuff either, between assignments, or if I'm, I have something that I really want to do, but I don't have any time to do it on my spare time right now. So then JWay usually sponsors me.
That's very cool. So are there any resources or books you would recommend to someone to get them up to speed with REST testing or unit testing?
I like this book. What's it called? Growing Software by Tests, or something like that.
Growing Object-Oriented Software?
Yeah, Guided by Tests. Cool. Yeah, that's the one. Okay. I really like that book. That's a great book. But for, being specific with the REST testing, I'm not aware of any book, actually.
Right, so if someone wanted to contribute to REST Assured, would they just go to the GitHub?
Yeah, GitHub, definitely the best place to go to just file a pull request. That would be great. Or just if you find bugs and you don't have time to go in and solve them, then just add them to the issue tracker on Google Code so that we know about it. And I will try to solve it as soon as I can.
Awesome. So Johan, before we go, is there one piece of actionable advice you can give someone to improve their REST testing efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
That's a good question. I think that you need some sort of experience beyond REST testing. I think that the most important thing in most software products I've been to is to, at least if it's a large project you're working on, the most important thing is that you decompose your system into smaller parts and test them individually. And also, it's really something that's quite hyped right now with microservices, but I don't think it has to be microservices. But I think it's once you start to split up your big system into smaller parts, I think many things will become easier. They will become easier to test. It will be faster to run your automated tests as well, because you don't have to run your entire suite for all your subsystems. You can just run the tests for this subsystem alone when you change that. So I think that's really important. So I think everyone should read Eric Evans' book on domain-driven design. I think that's one of the best books out there, I think.
Awesome. Yeah, a lot of people have actually recommended that book.
Yeah, it's a great book, I think.
Awesome. And Johan, what's the best way to contact or find out more about you or JWay?
Yeah, I think that if you want to know more about me or read my blogs, because I blog at jway.com. So just Google for my name and blog, I suppose. Yeah, you can just Google for my name. I think that all the different open source projects will pop up on Google, I think. And you can contact me on Twitter or send me an email or join the mailing list if it's related to the open source projects. And I'll be really happy to help out and discuss some problems. And I would really encourage people to help out, or if they have an idea that REST Assured or Iwutility or PowerMock, that something that they need, contact me and I will try to do my best to make it happen.
Thank you, Johan, for your REST Assured automation awesomeness. For links to everything of value that we talked about in this episode, head on over to www.testtalks.com/45. And while you're there, make sure to click on the More Info link under our exclusive sponsor section to learn more about our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs products and services. Also, I would love it if you had a second to leave a review in iTunes. Reviews go a long way in terms of exposure and helping new people come along and see that this show is worthwhile. And FYI, as of now, there is no reviews or likes from Sweden. So come on, Sweden, show some love, leave a review, or click on the 5 stars in iTunes for Test Talks. I'd really appreciate it. And that's it for this episode of Test Talks. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.